I have a few announcements before we start, and first I'd like to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can gather here in the name of Jesus for the freedom that we have in you, for the work that you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and choosing us and dying for us, redeeming us. And thank you that you give us peace that surpasses understanding. Peace when the world is in turmoil, and your peace that just steadies us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your name. And thank you that you're completely trustworthy, that we can call to you and we can be stable and steadfast. Lord, I pray for tonight. I pray for each lady here that she would sense your presence, that she would feel your love, and she would make new friends, that she would feel supported and not alone. Lord, we pray that you would quiet our hearts to hear what you want to say to us. We just thank you, Lord, for the many giftings that you give the different ladies to make an event like this happen. I just thank you, Lord, for each one of them. So now, Lord, we commit this to you, and we thank you. We ask that you would move amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, welcome, and thank you so much for coming. We weren't sure if people would be brave to come to an event or not, but here's the brave people of Knoxville, so yay for you. We did have a good turnout, too, because I thought, well, typically we have the tables and everything. I wasn't sure if people would want to come to a night event, but I think there's at least about 180 of us, so that's awesome. Yeah. I want to remind you, if you could, to please turn off your cell phones, which I need to remember to check mine, and also to let you know that the restrooms, I think we have made them both the men and women women's, so you can go in there and see what it's like. I hope they cleaned it. I haven't ventured in there, but also we have exits. If in case of an emergency, we have these exit doors, and you can go out any of the doors and get out the side, straight ahead, or this way, and pretty much that's the way to get out in case of an emergency. Also, next weekend, we have the live nativity drive. It's a drive-by live nativity, but we have some special guests that are going to be here with the live nativity, in case you saw it last year. Hope everybody will come. You can get out of your car if you want to and walk around, but we have the advanced choir singers from Halls High School. They're the Renaissance singers, and I can't say the word. I practiced with Stacy over and over, and I can't say it. Madrigals or something. But they're beautiful. They have all these costumes and stuff. So this is how crazy the world is. Their school won't allow them to sing unless they wear masks, and so most of the places they went, the people listening to also had to have masks, so they aren't able to perform this year, which is really sad for them because they've worked really hard. So they're going to be singing and freezing to death outside. So I hope that you'll come and support them. They got permission to be outside for this event. But the weird thing is, the same school allows wrestling. But you can't shake hands afterwards, because that might give you the virus. So it's pretty crazy. But I do want to support the choir and the kids that have worked so hard. And I heard a little clip, and they sound beautiful and they look beautiful. So if you're here tonight, remember it's Saturday night, not tomorrow, but next Saturday. and the times are on the sign, I can't, 6 to 8. And just come and hear some beautiful music and see the nativity. And it's another festive thing to do when we can't do very much. Then we will start the Bible study back, I think February 2nd is a Tuesday. So we will start back the Bible study, which is Taming the Tongue. There's 4 chapters left that we didn't finish, but you can jump in any time because it's the Bible. So you're welcome to come, and you can watch the teachings online. Her name is Maureen Schaefer, and I can get you more information. But I want to encourage everybody. It's a great, great study. Independent, we all need to work on our tongues, especially me. So that's why we choose these studies. We have also, thank you guys for bringing ornaments for Street Hope. Street Hope is a human trafficking organization that fights human trafficking, and they have built a home for girls that are rescued out of trafficking, and they've asked our church to supply a Christmas tree and decorations for that tree for the girls' home. And so thank you for bringing an ornament. Also, they need gift cards, which on Sunday, if you would ever want to donate a gift card for them, it helps them to be able to give either to purchase things that they need for the home or for the girls. So basically, that's all my announcements. And I'll just one more quick thing about, some of you may not know how tonight goes, you're new. Do you want to raise your hand or something if you're new? And wow, there's a lot of new. Wow. Well, thank you for being new and brave to come to a women's event that's like this. That's awesome. For tonight, what we will do, we're going to have a time of worship where you can stand or sit if you want to. We will have a devotional. We'll have a and 2 testimonies. And then we will finish with a time of prayer and a happy song to go home on. So that's kind of how the event, the rest of the evening's going to go, so you can kind of have an idea. So I'll turn it over to the worship girls.
Right, we're so excited to be with you guys tonight. So like Tracy said, you guys can stand if you want or stay seated, whatever's comfortable. We're going to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
How safe it feels to be in the house of the Lord with fellow believers that are like-minded and who love Jesus and who love one another. And it reminded me of when I first gave my life to the Lord, there was no place I wanted to be other than at church. And so I would clean the church. I would be there like all hours of the night. He never knew when I was going to show up, and I would clean it all night just because it was safe for me. I didn't know how to live in the world as a believer. I was a single girl, and I just love being at church, and I love being here tonight with all of you. I just think it's just a blessing to have this privilege to be together. Well, I want to introduce to you my friend Sherry. Her name is Sherry Deaton. She is from Santa Fe, where Mark and I came from. But really, the past 20-some years, she's been living in Florida. And we've been friends for, I was thinking, like, maybe like 30 years now. I was shocked because we were all in our 20s and we're all just starting getting married, and it's just weird to think how weird time is. But the Lord recently moved them back here, which is great, and I'm so thrilled. She oversaw our women's ministry at Calvary Chapel Santa Fe in New Mexico, and she's a blessing to me and one of the people that I look up to. What was I going to tell you about her? No. Oh, her and Jay is her husband, and she has two daughters, Mariah and Victoria, and Mariah's there. And they have been serving in addiction ministry and with the homeless for all these years, and that's been their life. They've lived in the world. They live life with them. And so when they came here, it was kind of culture shock to not be in that world. But she can tell you someday more of her story. But if you know people struggling with addiction, she and her husband are the people to see, because they disciple and live life and encourage. And they're not a program. They're people helping people walk out of addiction. And there's a lot of fruit in their lives. After Sherry shares our devotion for tonight, we will have a recorded testimony from a girl that used to attend our church, and now she's living back in Texas. Her name is Christy, and she doesn't say this in her testimony, I don't believe, but those of you who know Jamie Abernathy, Jamie took her in, and it was quite the trip to see her grow in the Lord. You'll hear her testimony, but yeah, we have stories about her, so you'll enjoy her testimony. But I want to welcome now Sherry Deaton.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, ladies, and good evening, and a Merry Christmas to you. Hope you're all doing well tonight. Thank you, Tracy, for such a beautiful, beautiful setting. I mean, she's right. I'm not used to this kind of glamour. This is lovely, so it's just wonderful. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about God's gift of peace. And to start us off, I would like for you to go back in time with me for just a moment and imagine yourself as the little girl you once were. And now I want you to imagine that you're here tonight at this wonderful Christmas party. And I say to you, girls, I have a surprise for you tonight. Tonight you have a choice. You can either have this large pile of presents that are filled with toys and candy and puzzles and all of the things that children like. Or you can have this one gift of God's peace. Which would you like? And I would imagine that most of us, if not all of us, would go running for the toys. Because even if we needed peace at that time in our lives, I believe our childlike instincts would take over and we would say, we need the toys more. Fast forward, though, to tonight, as we sit here as adult and young adult women, and we may still be excited about the Christmas party and we're dressed up and looking forward to the holiday season, but a lot has changed since we were little girls. Life has become more complicated, hasn't it? And in many ways, it has become more unsettling. For example, some of us are concerned about God's will for our lives, and we're troubled about it. We're worried about where He wants us to live or to work, or what ministry He would like us to be involved in. Some of us are troubled about financial issues. and health issues. Some of us carry the burden of worrying about problems in our marriage and problems with our children. Some of us are worried about dating issues, or shall I say the lack thereof, right? Sometimes we say, Lord, will I ever meet a nice Christian guy? And it can be worrisome. And of course, some of us are concerned about the state of the nation and wondering what the future holds. Again, life is not as simple as when we were children, and the worries and concerns that we have can weigh heavily on us. So with this in mind, I want you to consider, what if I gave you the same Christmas present option tonight as adults? What if I said to you, ladies, I have a surprise for you. Tonight, I have a large pile of presents that are filled with clothing and trinkets and jewelry and bubble bath and all of the things that women love, and Starbucks gift cards, you name it, whatever's in there. Or you have the choice of this gift of God's peace. Which will you choose? I would guess that at this stage of the game, most of us would choose the peace. In fact, I would guess that many of us would come running for the peace, faster than a child runs for the toys. Because we've learned, as we've gotten older, that more stuff doesn't satisfy. We need God's peace. I don't need more stuff. I need Him and the peace that only He can give. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Paul writes this, "May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always and in every way." Isn't that beautiful? So tonight, I'd like for us to open up this gift of God's peace, and I'm going to share with you a biblical truth that promises to give you peace always and in every way, no matter what struggles you face. You ready? Here's the truth. Our highest goal as Christians is relationship with Jesus Christ, not a problem-free life. I'm going to say that again. Our highest goal as Christians is relationship with Jesus Christ, not a problem-free life. So many Christians, including myself, lose our peace when problems come our way, because somewhere along the line, we bought into the lie that a problem-free, a smooth Christian life was more important than an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't think we do it on purpose. I think it just sort of happens. I mean, we're human. And as humans, we want life to be comfortable. But here's the thing. If we make a comfortable life our goal, then any time something goes wrong, guess what? We lose our peace because we're falling short of our goal, right? And the truth is that we will never meet that goal, because Jesus says in John 16:33, in this life you will have what? Trouble. In this life we will have trouble. So if we try to push against this truth and deceive ourselves that life is supposed to be great all the time, we will never have true peace. But if our highest goal is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, our peace will remain. Because we know that our problems only draw us closer to Him. And our problems will help us to see how much He loves us and how faithful He is in the hard times, and that His only desire is for our best and our well-being, and that He promises to work everything together for good. We will have peace no matter what happens if relationship with Jesus Christ is our number one goal. Jesus says in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the Heavenly Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." The eternal life that we as Christians talk about so often is not necessarily a place that we're going to. It's a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. And if we keep that as the primary goal of this life, nothing will steal your peace. The Lord started teaching me this lesson many years ago when my husband and I scheduled a trip for a good number of the homeless men that we were ministering to. And we were taking them on a bus to a Christian camp for the weekend. And before we got on the bus, we stopped, like all good Christians do, and we gathered the men together to pray for the trip. It was probably about a 4-hour bus ride. And so we prayed a very common Christian prayer, which went something like this, that God would grant us, what, a smooth and problem-free drive, a smooth trip. And we specifically prayed that we would not get a flat tire. Because, ladies, let me tell you, you don't want to be on the road with 45 men and break down in a bus on the side of the highway with no food and no water and no restrooms, not doing it. So we made sure we covered that in our prayer. Well, wouldn't you know, an hour into the trip, guess what we get? We get a flat tire. And to say that peace was lost on the bus would be an understatement. We had all kinds of comments and ideas and criticism and complaining. And worst of all, it gave the men an opportunity to begin mocking our prayer and ultimately mocking God. Because as I said, many of the men were not believers at that time. And so while my husband and I stood on the side of the road for hours, waiting for help to come amongst, 45 agitated grown men, we realized that our priorities had been out of line. We had made the goal a problem-free trip instead of knowing Jesus. And it would have been much better if we had prayed, "Lord, please give us a safe trip. Please don't give us any flat tires, but more than anything, Lord, help us to stay close to you. Help us to see that you will meet our every need, no matter what happens." Oh, to have prayed that prayer, our peace would have remained, and God would have been glorified. We lost a tremendous opportunity that afternoon. And we purpose not to do it again. You say, "Well, Sherry, that's nice, but what about big problems in life?" I mean, that's good that, God's peace can cover flat tires and things like that. But what about the serious issues that I'm facing in this life? I want you to remember our verse. "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way." This tells me that we can have God's peace in every situation, no matter how difficult. You just need to apply the same principle. Keep your relationship with the Lord number one, and that peace will remain. We see this played out in the biblical story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm convinced that Mary, like any other woman, desired a problem-free life. She was human, just like us. But from Scripture, it is clear that her highest goal was relationship with God. It had to have been, because God was about to turn her world upside down. And if her highest goal was a problem-free life, she never would have made it, never would have lasted. Absolutely not. And I don't believe God would have chosen her, because it would have been too much. Mary's life was full of problems. And I want to just run through just a few of them this evening and see if we can't relate to what she went through. Mary's reputation was ruined. People thought that she was immoral for getting pregnant before marriage. Mary was innocent, but she suffered the consequences of someone who had lived an immoral life. Are you troubled with the consequences from an immoral past? Does it plague you, the wreckage that has been left behind from choices that you made when you were younger? Have you lost your reputation? People gossip about you. Family members have avoided you. Mary faced the same problem. Mary was forced to leave her family and her home as she and Joseph left for Bethlehem. Are you troubled because you are separated from someone that you love? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary lived under an oppressive government, so oppressive that they sought to kill her son. She and Joseph were forced to flee the country. Are you troubled about the state of our nation and that it might become overly oppressive at some point? I never dreamed I'd be saying that standing up here. But are we concerned about it? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary lived what seemed to me from Scripture to be a very unsettled life, being asked to pick up and move at a drop of a hat, sometimes not knowing exactly where she would end up. Do you feel unsettled in your life? Not knowing what God wants you to do or where he wants you to be. Or maybe he's calling you somewhere and it feels really uncomfortable. You've lost financial security. Mary faced the same problem. Mary lost her husband, Joseph. She became a widow early on and was left to face the second half of her life without him. I want you to think about this, including the crucifixion of their son. Are you troubled because you've lost your husband due to death or divorce? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary's adult children were unbelievers, and there was turmoil amongst them. Can you imagine? You have given birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and your children that follow after him don't believe. Can you imagine the chaos that brought about and the prayers that Mary offered for her children? Do you have adult children that have chosen to walk away from the Lord? Or maybe they've never known the Lord and they're making some really painful decisions in life and it's causing turmoil in the family? Mary faced the same problem. And worst of all, Mary watched her firstborn son be crucified on a cross. We will never endure that. But are you troubled because you've lost someone dear to you? And life feels lonely and empty. Mary faced the same problem. You talk about a life full of trouble. You talk about a woman who had to let go of so many of her hopes and her dreams. But here's the thing. I think Mary knew she was in for a lifetime of trouble the moment the angel told her that she was pregnant with the Son of God. She knew that the life she had kind of expected and hoped to live was over. All of those dreams, all of those hopes, not happening. But listen to what she says in Scripture. This is taken from Luke chapter 1. Mary says this, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me." Oh, that we would be at a place in our lives that when we are faced with problems, that we would have the peace that Mary did, and that we would proclaim, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the mighty one has done great things for me." This is the heart of a woman who understood that God's highest goal for her life was relationship with him. This is the heart of a woman who knew that God loved her and that he had her best interest in mind and that he would work everything together for good. This is the heart of a woman who remained in God's peace. This Christmas season, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. Amen.
I knew the Lord. My uncle was the first one to ever talk to me about the Lord. I said the salvation prayer when I was young, but you know, when you're young, you don't really quite know what that means. I always knew, you know, about God. I always knew there was a God. When my grandparents were influential in that, they, you know, trained me up in the ways of the Lord, like Scripture says, you know, you train your child up in the ways of the Lord, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So I believe that I always had a knowledge of God. I always, you know, knew who he was. My family took us to church when we were young and whatnot. So, you know, as I got older, and of course, you're a teenager, you're kind of living wild and, you know, doing things that, you know, just giving into the world's temptation, And so I was kind of partying, you know, at a young age and whatnot. And I met my husband. Well, at the time we were just dating, and together he and I got officially saved, I guess you could say. Like, we knew what we were doing. We got saved. We gave our life to the Lord probably before we got married. So we got saved and baptized together and got married, had kids. Our children were born, and we started to have problems. There was some infidelity, some adultery, and brought into the marriage. And I, you know, being young and just not really probably following the Lord like I should, you know, at the time. We went to church, but we had started having financial problems, and, you know, things were just rocky in our marriage. We had to move back in with his parents, and just things weren't going good. So I didn't know how to respond when I got hurt. And so I just chose to, you know, when the fires turned up and you don't really know how to respond, you just look at the world's way of dealing with it. You know, you get told by people ways that you should deal with it. And instead of turning to the Lord, I turned away from the Lord. You know, I started going out, hanging out with people who I knew did things that I shouldn't do, and ended up getting involved in a very chaotic lifestyle. Unfortunately, my family was involved in that as well. And so the people who I normally, you know, you normally can turn to, your parents or whatever, you know, one of my parents was really good, and I knew that, but something inside of me, I guess, came out that was kind of hiding in there. You know, maybe the want to be young and free and forget about things, you know, how the enemy comes in and he's just seeking to devour, you know. So I feel like he was after my life. He was after mine and my husband's life, and he just came in and, you know, to steal, kill, and destroy. And so anyway, I started just slow fading, got involved with drugs, doing methamphetamines and just whatever I could do, you know, partying and just trying to numb the pain. But meanwhile, it was just taking me down, you know, little by little, and slowly but surely I ended up losing my marriage, losing my kids, losing my life, essentially. I actually physically died once. And yeah, throughout this all, like, it's really strange when I think about it now, but knowing scripture and knowing that God says that, you know, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, like, I can see in my life that he never did. He never left me. He never forsaked me. Like, he was always trying to get me back, you know, always trying to talk to me and tell me, come back home, you know. In my life, I feel like at the time when he finally got through to me, I was that one, you know, where he leaves the 99. I remember a time where I was at my lowest point and probably the scariest point. I had clinically overdosed and had a bad reaction to some medicine also that I had taken. And I remember being in a dark, dark room. All I can remember about this was that I was in a really dark room, and this is after, like, I was dead legally for 2 minutes. And in that room, I can remember looking around and thinking, like, where am I? Where am I? All I remember seeing, you know, was just darkness in this room. I could hear voices. I could hear Chris. I could hear, you know, my kids. Even though they weren't there, it was really strange. It was like God was trying to get through to me and show me things. And in the midst of the darkness, I remember, you know, just thinking, there's not any light in here. Like, where am I? But, you know, sort of feeling a presence, like there was someone there. And just plain as day, I heard God's voice, you know, just say, are you ready to spend eternity here? And realizing that, like, I was in total darkness. It wasn't like I was you know, in hell, but I was separated from him. Like, he was there, but I wasn't with him. Like, it was so crazy. And all I remember is saying no and waking up. And my husband was there and talking to the nurses and telling them all the things I'd been doing. And I was just angry and thought he didn't have any right to be there. And long story short, I ended up leaving the hospital and going right back into everything I was doing, ended up in jail. That's when he decided to divorce me. And that was tough. You know, not being around my kids and being divorced, and I felt like I had just lost everything. So why even try? You know, why try? Just stay down, stay down. You know, you're a loser, you've gone this far. You know, I just felt so alone and just so depressed, I remember. And any amount of sobriety, I felt the pain of everything I had done. And, you know, just being able to walk away from your family, from your marriage, from everything, just, you know, the enemy really had a hold. But, by the time, you know, I had realized all of this, you know, it was coming close to a head. It was too late for me in my mind. You know, I thought, you know, I'd just rather die. Well, around this time, a friend of mine, who was a male, he saw me and I looked awful. Like, I looked like a skeleton. I remember, you know, he told me how awful I looked and I just said, "You're crazy, you know, just go on." And you don't see that, you know, when you're struggling, you just think everything's okay and you look fine and you're just deceived. Like, the enemy has you just so deceived. And finally he took a picture and showed me a picture of like my back where it looked like a nasty alien. Like, I didn't even look human anymore. Like, it was just crazy. I feel like the day he got a hold of me, I was by myself. I was actually intoxicated, and in a sobering moment I listened to a song, and that song just showed me that he was still there even though I had turned away, that he was still there for me. And so I just cried and just told him, I'm tired of trying to do it myself, I'm tired of trying to fix things myself and depend on substances or men or whatever it is that, you know, I was putting in front of him. And so I said, "Please help me." And so the next day, actually that night, I decided I was going to go to church. And I searched for a church. And it was probably about 15 miles away. But I thought, you know what, I'm going. I didn't really know anybody in that city, in that state. But, you know, I just knew that church and God is who I needed to turn to. I had tried to fix things myself over and over. And failing every time, being in and out of my kids' lives, in and out of just messing up, doing good, messing up, doing good. And so I knew that I had to turn back to what I was taught, you know, all those years that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the rest shall be added unto you, and his righteousness also. So I went to church the next day and fell on my knees at the altar, asked God's forgiveness, and cried and cried. And from there, I ended up staying with someone, and she was great. She was a mentor. She was wonderful, and she was very real. Being that I was in jail before, and I knew what it was like to be there, it was just very fitting that God put me with a lady who did jail ministry, refuge ministry, things like that. And she didn't let me get away with anything. She never let me get away with anything. And God knew just who I needed. I mean, he really did. And from there, it took probably about a year. I never knew what it really meant to have that personal relationship and to read his word and to communicate with him, you know, until that's all I had. You know, she pretty much stripped me of everything I had, and she helped me learned that I need to read, I need to talk to God, I need to pray, and I need to have a continuous relationship. And through that, you know, I found peace and understanding, and most of all, peace that just passed all understanding. Just the fact that she allowed me to stay there and, you know, mentor me was just beyond, I couldn't even fathom what she was doing. Like, I was just like, why would this person? Oh, because of you, you know, because of you. Because I turned back to you, you know, you're faithful to me. And so from there, I was like only allowed to watch videos of pastors. You know, all I could watch was just TV and report back on what I learned that day. So it was just a constant stripping away, you know, putting off the old man, putting on a new man, you know. In 2 Chronicles, I believe, he says that if you will turn from your wicked ways and you will seek him, that he will restore your land, you know, he will heal your land. And I believe that was what he was doing. You know, I turned from my wicked ways. I surrendered my life to him, and he just began to just slowly give me everything back. So I stayed with her for about a year and ended up moving back to Texas, and I was going to get an apartment of my own, and Chris and I started talking, and you know, I had to be sure that, I remember thinking, you know, God, I just want what you want for me. And I can remember thinking, if it's not that I remarry Chris, just whatever you want for me. At that point in my life, I had given my life so much to him that it wasn't going to be about another man or my kids or anything. It needed to be about him first. Like, I had to make 100% sure that I was putting him first. And when I came back, it was not easy. You know, I was tempted to go out. And in fact, I did a couple of times, and he just reeled me back in. No, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be going out with your friends. You're not supposed to be doing anything but serving me. And it took a while. I mean, life isn't, you know, peaches and cream because you give your life to the Lord. In fact, it gets harder. The warfare kicks in triple, you know, quadruple, because now you've been restored. So the enemy really doesn't want your story to get out, you know? It's that you've been restored. And if people know, and if the enemy knows, hey, God can restore people, that's double jeopardy for him, because, you know, now we're strong. We're strong in the Lord first, you know? We're resisting our flesh. We're starving our flesh. And that's what it is really daily, is it's a daily surrender. It's starve your flesh, feed your spirit, starve your flesh, feed your spirit, you know? Like in Ephesians, where you put off the old man, you put on the new man, the renewing of your mind. So I wanted to make sure I was doing that. I was in a church, was taking my kids to that church. I was visiting with my kids. I was talking with my ex-husband at the time, and we just started talking about reuniting. And before you know it, we're remarried. And that's been 9 years, we think, this year. I think that's 9 years in October. So, you know, my kids can look at me, and that's the most beautiful thing, is that they can look at me and they can say, Mommy, I love you. And I know they mean it. I know they love me. I know I'm forgiven. And I know now that I have that peace that, you know, passes all understanding. It's not easy, and we still have struggles that we have to get through, but I have that peace that passes all understanding that God can only give you. You know, I don't have to reach out into the world to get that anymore. I don't have to look towards anything but God. You know, if I just fix my eyes on him, and I just fix my eyes on his plan and his purpose, and I focus and meditate on things that are pure and lovely and admirable and noble and all those good things, you know, then when struggles come my way, I know how to handle that. You know, I know who I need to turn to. I know what I need to turn to. Most importantly, his word, his voice. I know I need to pray. I need to communicate with him. I need to walk daily with him, and life will be good. It's not going to be great all the time, but it's going to be good. It's going to leave me at peace, leave me at rest, you know, knowing that the good work he began in me that he will finish. You know, it's not something for me to take and try to finish anymore. It's his. My life is his. That's it.
Great redemption story. Well, it's so amazing. Those of you that know Jamie know she was stripped her. I just remember conversations at my house. How can we get that phone from her? That was the biggest thing, is taking that phone away, because that's where all the connections were. And that was the link that kept pulling her in a wrong way. So she eventually got the phone, and the rest is history. But God is so faithful. No matter where we are, no matter what, he's working in our lives, and we're not too far gone. As long as we have a breath in us, there's hope. So I just want anybody here that's feeling hopeless, there's hope. God has all power and all authority and all strength to help us. But we have to make the right choices. I can identify so much with Christy. And she said, walk and fall, or, you know, do good for a while and fail, do good and fail. And that was me. I had different struggles than Christy had, but mine was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, that song, that was my life. And I would compromise God's word, and also I had a mercy gift, so I felt sorry for people. So if I saw potential in people, oh, I can help that person, I can help them, I can understand them, I can change them. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way. The only person that ever changes is yourself. You always end up going a wrong way. Just want to encourage anybody that's compromising in a wrong relationship or with someone that doesn't know the Lord, that's not God's plan for you. And you know, don't compromise that. He has good plans for you. Doesn't mean that person isn't good or they don't have potential, but the thing God taught me was it's pride, really, to think that we can change someone that God hasn't changed, or they haven't allowed God to change them. They're not going to change for us. It has to be the Lord. So I want to encourage you in that, if that's your struggle. And some of you know that Mark and I have known each other a long time. So for the new people, this will be new. But for the old ones that know the story, just bear with me for a short moment. Mark and I started liking each other when I was 12 and he was 14. And we met at the end of my street. His dad was a pastor at a denominational church, and I went to a different kind of denominational church. And we met when we were little, and we dated on and off until college. And at the beginning of college, we broke up, and we're apart for 8 years. Until Mark gave his life to the Lord, and the Lord brought Mark back into my life. But I never dreamed I would be back with him. But he really was my first love, and I think he told me I was his only love, which is sweet. But I was out searching for love in all the wrong places. But he wasn't a Christian, but he thought he was. Both of us were raised in church. I mean, his dad's a pastor, so he had to go. And I went 3 times a week, and I knew I gave my life to the Lord, like Chrissy said, when I was little, like 7, and was baptized. And I knew the truth, and I prayed. But as much as a kid can know, and as much as I could know, because I didn't really know God's word, Knowing God's word makes all the difference in the world in your walk with him. The church that I went to did teach the Bible, but it was more preaching, and I knew the don'ts that you weren't supposed to do, but I didn't know the do's of how to walk with the Lord. I didn't have anybody tell me that, so I always just kind of lived feeling condemned and repented a lot. Every time I was the one at the altar call, and they would sing all the verses of Just As I Am multiple times until I could work out my problem and feel better. I had a tender heart towards the Lord. I just didn't know how to walk with him. And so in college, I walked away. Mark had broken up with me, and he went the party world, and I didn't, and I was heartbroken, and that began my journey of wanting to feel loved. And shortly after college, I moved to New Mexico and worked in Los Alamos for the National Labs up there as an interior designer and space planner, which is not the most creative place you get to work in a nuclear engineering plant. But it was an experience. But it was in New Mexico that I remember not knowing anybody at all. And I moved out there by myself, and I just thought, well, this is it. I'm going alone. I don't know anybody who knows what in the world, you know, is going to happen for my life. And so at the time, I was in my early 20s, and I said, well, I guess I'll join a gym and find a church. Those are the only things that were constant in my life that I could do. So I wasn't even really going to church when I left Tennessee. So I went to a kind of church that I grew up in, and it was very legalistic. And they started checking up on me, where you been, what you been doing. And I had had so much of that in my life. The rules and regulations that sometimes churches can put on there, not that God does, but that people can put on there. You have to dress or look a certain way, or you have to be, you do have to behave, but a certain way. But, you know, just man-made rules. I rebelled against those, and I can remember leaving church that day. I walked into the parking lot, and I looked up to heaven, and I just said, Lord, this is all I know, and all I know is I can't do this, so I quit. And I didn't know how I would ever find the Lord or worship with him or anything else. I just quit that day, and it wasn't any time, not long at all, a girl from my work in my workplace said, hey, there's this church starting in a hotel, you want to go? And I was like, okay. I would do anything. I was kind of like a little gypsy. I just floated around and lived with people. I was a misfit toy for sure. And I fit in perfectly in Santa Fe, which is this, you know, the city different. And that was a perfect place for me. And I went to the church, and it was a Calvary Chapel that was just starting. It was a baby church in Santa Fe that was sent out of Skip Heitzig's church in Albuquerque. And I walked in, and I saw people truly worshiping the Lord for the first time, like raising their hands and just surrendered, just dressed up in Santa Fe as blue jeans. So I was like, yes, blue jeans and sweatshirts, that's exactly me. But it was real, it was transparent, and it was truthful, and it wasn't playing church or trying to look a certain way and then going home and acting differently. It was just real people pursuing the Lord. And I knew as soon as I walked in, this is where I belong. And I heard the word taught, like line by line, verse by verse, and I was like, I've never heard this in my whole life, ever. I couldn't believe it. I stayed, of course, extra to talk to the pastor because I was like, well, tell me about this. I remember we were in Genesis, and I was I'd never heard it, and I was like a sponge. I was so excited to hear God's word, and I was still a mess. I was still in the world, but I was hungry for the things of the Lord, and I began to grow, and the Lord grew me and grew me, but I was a little bit slow to catch on because I thought that, you know, when you're saved, you just were saved, and then God would do something to make you nice or good. And I just kept waiting for that, and it never, ever, ever happened. And I was like, well, my sister got all the good part, and I got the rebel part, and it's still kind of that way. I'm the, let's not wear masks ever. I even actually apologized to Mark. I was like, you chose me. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm probably going to jail. So so he wears his in obedience, and I don't. So... and sometimes he'll get brave, but he told me last night, I just get so nervous. And I'm like, really? Just makes me excited. It's like, we're going to fight. No. Getting off task. But no, I thought that, you know, goodness just happened to you, and it doesn't. And it wasn't till I just kept getting in bad relationships and I dreaded when my pastor would come and say, hey, Tracy, I want to talk to you. I'd be like, oh, no. Where did he see my car? Where was I? What was I doing? And I didn't want to. I just got tired of myself. And I was like, I don't want to live this way anymore. And I just either need to live for Jesus or die, just like Christy said. I can't keep doing this because you're miserable in the world and you're miserable in the church, really, because you feel guilty all the time. So I had a moment where I absolutely surrendered everything to the Lord, and I knew that I had to break off relationship, and I had to lose friends, and I had to change everything. And the Lord did for me, very similar to Christy. I lived with my pastor and his wife, and so I was like, man, I can't get phone calls from people like that here. You know, I just had to learn to live differently, and it was, I had to make hard choices. I had to say no. I had to learn to say no. I had to learn, I had to pre-think, because I'm so weak, how I was going to handle a situation before it presented itself to me, because I knew I would freeze up and just go along with whatever's happening. So I had to even practice what I would say, and I had to break my own heart to be obedient, really. And just like Christy said, the enemy hates that. So every person I had sought there in Santa Fe all of a sudden was loving me, you know. Suddenly I was like, there's no way, this is just the enemy, it has to be. And I had to say no, even though it was something I had really, really wanted. And that's when the real peace came, all the stuff that I heard other Christians talk about, the peace, just that purity, the simplicity, the cleanness, not having to worry about who knew what or where I was, or no guilt, just a clean conscience is what God gave me. And like Sherry said, I chose, you know, the peace gift over all the other things that the world has to offer. Because even if I had those relationships, they would not have satisfied. God had so much more for me. I can still remember just that moment of really making up my mind to follow Jesus. And I knew I had to mean it. And I knew it was scary because it feels like you're going to fall really far and you don't know what your world's going to look like if you surrender. what's it going to be like? Is God going to, you know, take every fun thing away? But it wasn't a fall at all. It was just like everything good just met me when I surrendered. And I remember the saying that always tortured me was, if he's not Lord of all, is he Lord at all? And I wanted him to be the Lord of my life, not just my Savior. And so I want to encourage you all as well, if you've just known him as Savior or fire insurance from hell, he wants relationship, like Sherry said. He wants a relationship with us, and that's what I didn't know how to get. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be transparent. He wants us to be honest. But he just wants to know us and love us, and he wants us to know and love him. And if you haven't made that decision, I want to encourage you that tonight is the perfect night to make that decision. You will not regret it. He has a plan for you, and that's when I found my purpose. I always wondered, why am I born? What is the deal with just eating, working, coming home? It just didn't make sense. It just seemed so pointless to me. But then once I knew Jesus, it adds so much more. It adds the real life to life. And it's about people. It's about loving people, knowing people, and sharing Jesus with those people. And we all have a call in our life, and we all have a great purpose that God has planned for each one of us individually and specifically. He has a good plan for your life, and he needs us to be strong, and he needs us to stand up, and he needs us to be women warriors in these end times. And we need to be with him, and we need to be strong in his word, and we need to be willing to fight and stand for the things that matter, and that is knowing him. There's nothing more important than knowing him and representing him well. I'm ashamed. I'm like her. I was like Christy. I'm ashamed of myself, ashamed of my sins. But God forgives us. He's promised. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And if we have any prayer people that are here, that if you want to come forward and stand in the front, if you would like prayer, I would like for you to come forward, and the ladies will pray with you. Sherry, you want to pray with people too? And I want to say that during this time, if you don't need prayer, we have some scriptures in this little bowl, and one's for each of you. And we've prayed over them and prayed that God would give the right scripture to the right person. So I pray that you're blessed by that. So if you don't have any prayer needs, please come up and take a scripture during this time as well. And we will, you guys can start. Bible verse blesses you. And if you can pop it in your Bible as a little bookmark, and remember that it's God's peace. It's the only thing that satisfies. And it's available for all of us. And I hope you have that peace. And if you don't have peace, don't leave here tonight without doing what is necessary, even if it's like me, a million choruses of "Just As I Am" over and over until you get things right. It is totally worth it. And before we leave, I have a couple of things to say to you. I think this is being recorded. I'm not sure. It is being recorded. So if you have friends that couldn't make it, they can listen to it. And I hope we don't get in trouble for me being rebellious about the mask. But if it's online, oh well. Anyway, it's just the truth. We're transparent and honest here. If you need more foods and drinks, and beautiful hot chocolate stand there was decorated by Lauren. I just want to say thank you to so many people that made this happen, to Lori and Hannah and Michael and all that, my stage people and my decorator helps and all the people that served tonight. Thank you. There's no way that we could do this without a lot of help. And I want to thank you all. And thank you all for coming so much. And before we sing our very last song, I want to repeat the verse that Sherry said. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. God bless you.
All right, you guys can stand, and we're going to sing our last song.
We love you all, and Merry Christmas.